Okay, Stefan Meisel from the Austrian company EUX, a long-time member and also very active in the OSGEO community, in the Phosphor-G community. And Stefan has been involved with the company or is involved in the OGC Innovation Program, and you will give an insight what you're doing there.
Yes, so thank you very much. So I'm trying to give more technical details also about the innovation program. So the light up here is really bad. I don't see at all. Anyway, if you have an immediate question, just interrupt me. Feel free. There should be plenty of time to just answer whatever comes to your mind. So first, let me have a quick introduction of our company. It's UX. We are based in Vienna, Austria. We are a small team of We are a growing team, but still I consider it small, 14 people. If you're interested in our solutions and services, I put the link there. So for example, one thing we are, well, the 11 years that we are in existence, we are coming from purely software implementation. We came also to actually pre-operations, so the pre is important, services for the European Space Agency. So our background is really the Earth observation, so satellite imagery. And I put up two links here where we operate services for two interesting missions that are not so typical. So it's the SWARM mission measuring Earth magnetic field and the AEOLOS mission measuring wind. You, at the end of the presentation, I will show you why this is interesting. And also recently, just this year, we launched what we call UX Cloudless. So we are producing mosaics of optical and radar data to your custom specifications. So what is our OSGEO involvement? So since the very beginning, we are strongly committed towards using and contributing to free and open source software. We are a service provider for various developments and customizations. So one thing we started ourselves is what we call UX Server. It's also on OSGEO Live, thanks to Angelos pinging us constantly. Thank you very much. It's based on Map Server. So in Map Server, we are core contributors, being PSC member. And we have lots of different tools that we use in various combinations in various projects. So I mentioned a couple of here. So one, EXE is a client, a catalog client. Then we have GeoDiff.js. If you're interested in GeoDiff.js, there were already presentations yesterday how to use it, and Fabian will give a presentation later today about the technical details of GeoDiff.js, how to use it, to read GeoDiffs in the browser. Plotly and Graphly, you have already missed the presentation. So Daniel and Lube have presented yesterday, but you can watch the recording. Those are JavaScript, small JavaScript libraries to a special task of plotting data in a very efficient way in the browser again. So using WebGL and shaders, and that's where my knowledge stops. MapJetty is also a tool that was presented yesterday. So by the way, everything I mentioned here is open source. It's, I think all of it, it's MIT license, so really permissive if you want to use any of it. And yeah, MapJetty was also presented yesterday by Joachim. It's a tile engine for big processing to parallelize the task. So if you're interested, I put up also the GitHub link. And also what we started 3 years ago is contributing to open data. And here, it's, what I mentioned is the s2maps.eu URL. It's a Sentinel-2 cloudless mosaic globally, updated yearly. And you can use it for free, so the old versions are even entirely free, so Creative Commons attribution. The newer ones reserve the right for commercial usage, so if you're using non-commercial, feel free. Commercial, it's part of our EX Cloudless offering. So OGC involvement, again, here, we, since the very beginning, we are strongly committed to improve and use open standards. In fact, our first project for the European Space Agency have already been extending open OGC standards, working on WCS extensions. So we are, as what Martina mentioned before, an associate member since, I don't know, 11 years or so. I'm co-chairing the coverages domain working group and the web's coverage service standards working group. And we are actively participating in like a technical committee meetings, test beds, hackathons, various initiatives that are done by OGC. And we are also maintaining reference implementations, although it's I need to talk to Dirk, I guess, to see what they say. It's always difficult for an open source project to keep up with this because you have to the yearly updates and so on. But in the end, the reference implementation, because there was the question before about the site testing, the reference implementations, they get the fees waived. But then you have to renew it and invest effort. And yeah, it's a difficult thing. So reference implementations for WCS based on a map server and the Earth observation and application profile based on UX server. So this is, I believe all of you maybe have seen Tina's presentation just now. So this is just to recap the triangle of OGC, the programs. What I'm focusing on is the innovation program in the top. I borrowed a couple of slides from Ingo to quickly go over the organizational details of a test bed or the innovation program in general, but I want to take the example of a test bed and our participation in test bed 14. So the very first step is that there is an idea coming from the communication outreach, or not necessarily, but most of the time. And the innovation program team searches for sponsors, and then they issue a call for participation. So that's what you can watch if you want to participate, if there is a call for participation. And you get their technical documents and also the management documents. And you can decide to respond to the call for participation. And that you have typical thing like deadlines and send in. And one point that was mentioned before already is the cost sharing model. So you will find items in there where there are sponsors interested in these items and they put money on those items. And it will be labeled. There will not be the amount for each individual item, but it will say this item gets co-funding. And then you have to say, well, we add additional in-kind contribution to this co-funding. The typical share would be like 50-50%. So 50% you get from OGC, from the sponsor, and 50% you contribute yourselves. And you simply send in the proposal. The sponsors, together with the IP team, make the review and select the different teams. And one important thing is that most of the time, individual items, or not most of the time, but quite often, items are contracted twice. So that's important to also test interoperability right at the beginning. But in the end, if you're not yet an OGC member and you want to apply, it's no problem. The only thing you have to do is you have to write that you intend to become an OGC member when you're selected. That's the catch. And yeah, so that's the selection works. And then when it comes to the execution, there is typically a kickoff meeting somewhere. Most of the time it's in the DC area, where you also can meet the other participants in person, particularly those that will work together in your thread and where you will make this what it's called technology integration experiments. So typically there will be clients and servers implementations, multiple for the same things, and then you connect as many as possible as you can achieve in typically in 9 months. So the cycle is repeated every year for the test beds. So typically the execution phase is typically 9 months. So, well, you work on those, your implementations, make demonstrations, make the technology integration experiments, and the important thing is that you document all this. So there is typically a requirement to keep your demonstrations up for 1 year at least. And then you document everything in what we call engineering reports, and those engineering reports are then brought again to the OGC, to the technical committee, it's voted on, so all the typical process, but then it's fed back to the standards program. So that like gaps or enhancement that you find and already tested it in the innovation program, that's fed back to the standards program, where then you can even up to really make change requests to standards coming out from the initiative, not only the engineering reports. Those are the two important results. So if you're interested, this is the one URL you need to follow. Okay, so let me talk a bit about by example. So for our involvement, so we participated in Testbed 14 last year. Then the testbed is organized, as I said, in multiple threads. So we selected the Earth observation and clouds threads to participate to. That's important because this organization in threads, it's also the group that you will regularly meet on teleconferences. So if you participate in multiple threads, you will have multiple teleconferences a week. So this is important to take into consideration when you reply. And inside of the threads, you have various tasks. And we participated to the swath data and climate forecast convention tasks. So what does it mean as swath data? It's data that is still in satellite geometry, so not yet auto-rectified, or it's referenced, so it's referenceable, but it's not yet auto-rectified or anything to Earth. And there we're building a WCS and also a client and Earth observation application client to WCS. So we selected it's a software that I introduced before, so based it all on open source software. So here it's the UX server that provides the various interfaces, in this case WCS is what we needed to extend. And on the client side we have various the tools and the integration together is the UX client, but in the core there are the different parts like the Graphly and GeoDiff.js and so on and forth. So what is our concrete participation? We selected a rather, it's not a standard satellite that you would expect. It's called CloudSat. And as the name says, it's measuring clouds in the atmosphere. So it's a sounder that it's not taking pictures of the Earth, but of cutting through the atmosphere. It's vertical curtains, as we call it. And then they come in still in satellite geometry with really difficult, the formula is not that hard, but it's hard to visualize it because there is no regularity whatsoever. So for example, the height values, they are always starting and stopping at different heights. So none of them are at one line of height, for example. Also one thing that you typically produce in test beds is videos of the demonstrations. So that was wrong. I hope I can play this video here. That would be awesome. Right. Cool. So this is really the demonstration that we implemented to the client. So the important point is here that you really want to analyze the data. So you have to do not only make nice visualizations, but really get the actual data. That's why we're talking about WCS. I mean, it's WMS will also be difficult because of the vertical thingy. So in a typical WMS, you only have one line. But anyway, the goal here is really to have the actual data. And by the way, it's running in the browser. So you have Cesium on the left side. And on the time slide at the bottom, you can select the data you're interested in. So in blue, you have an indication where we have this CloudSat data, and you select which time interval you're interested in. And the point is, we are in the background, we are sending WCS requests, so we're really retrieving the actual float 32 data. So this is why there's also some delay, because you're transferring it a couple of megabytes. But the beauty of it is now that we have the actual data in the browser, and we can play around with it. So we can change the visualization quite easily. And thanks to WebGL and magic from Daniel, this all works really fast. The video, so in this case, it's just changing a color scale and things like this. Playing around with transparency. But then, what you see here, the yellow part is that's all the clouds. So that's what we're actually interested in. The purple parts, that's just no data. We just get rid of it. So we can place a filter on it. We just visualize certain values. And also we have full interactivity on the analytics plot. That's Graphly behind, if I'm not mistaken. And you can even like click on individual items to see the values on this particular point. Well, the video is continuing a little. I think it's only now, the next thing to show is only interesting visualizations from Cesium. Is it? It's not that long. Yeah. Do you know all Cesium or are interested in this Cesium madness? It's 2.5D view that I like. It's nice animations. Maybe it's not so impressive for a technical audience, but usually this is impressive. Okay. So anyway, if you want to try it yourself, point your browser to the URL. Just make sure that you have some resources left, memory and CPU. It takes a little resources. And the engineering report, if you want to see the written results, it's also linked here. Uh-huh. What am I doing? Oops, 3 minutes. Thank you. Ah. Okay, this is just to quickly show that was the old system. Not really interactive, and especially no 3D and analysis. So that's what we're trying to replace. Okay, I have to screenshots in case the video wouldn't work. So for us, why would we participate in a testbed like this? So it's really, the Thai experiments, that's really the core to work together with the other participants. And already at the very beginning of the standards development in the first phase, you test out immediately the implementations, if the clients and servers, if they work together, if it worked together with other implementations across different programming languages and so on and forth. Typically because of the sponsors they bring in, their real world problems, so you're working on real world scenarios, and the interoperability requirements, you will then have hopefully cool demonstrations to show off, and it's also promoted by OGC, so the video I was playing is on the OGC channel. And you can even bring in your own ideas if you have identified enhancement needs or gaps. And it's on both sides. It's in the standards and also in the software. Well, and speaking a lot about the OGC API these days, it's really that you can help shape the next generation of those interfaces and the standards. And also to mention, you get early access usually. I mean, it's changing now because of the adoption of GitHub. So like, for example, for the OGC API, I think all of the working groups voted to open their repositories where they work on the standards to have it publicly available to everybody to see it early. And also in this case, and this is why the European Space Agency is also interested in this implementation, is the, as I mentioned in the beginning, is the preparation for the EOLOS mission. So EOLOS is the wind mission, and the interface now might look a little familiar to you. So if you're interested, it's still in the commissioning phase, and the registration is not yet opened, but it should be within this year, let's say, soon, that you can really go to this to the viruses eolos.services domain, register, and play around with the wind data in this case. So not cloud, but winds data, and this is how it looks like, and this the aim would be that this interface is completely driven using open standards. So it is using open source already, 100%. Open standards, not yet. But the result from testbed 14 should help to get this 100% OGC standards compliant as well. Well, that's it for my slides. Are there any questions?
Initiative of the OGC. Okay. So
would you say, what are the experiences? I mean, we are here to just, it's easier like that, I don't have to shout. The idea here is to exchange information, experiences. So, and you have seen now Stefan's presentation, and I think he really managed, it really was intriguing how he bridged the open standards world and the open source software world. So is that something, you would take home? What are your ideas? So we had the question about how is this funded? How does it work? Are there any topics you say that came to your mind? Like, oh, that is interesting. I have a requirement, or that I would like, to see more implementations happening. Is there something, we having our foots in both communities could help with that?
Okay, so the question was, in brief, I think the relationship between the coverages world, or WCS, and Inspire, and how those two communities or those two groups can work together, or how they are interacting already. So I think there is a little bit of history to this. So I'm coming from the coverage side of things, but also in the implementation, like I mentioned MapServer before. So for example, we have implemented the Inspire support in MapServer for WMS and also to some extent for WCS. And then we would, like on the OGC side, very much welcome more collaboration with the Inspire world. But correct me if I'm wrong, but in the beginning, it was like Inspire decided for the coverage as well, to go a different way and make their own thing. So, this has changed now, and the collaboration is increasing, as I understand. So not me personally, because I'm not involved in Inspire side that much. But at the very beginning, like even the definition of what a coverage is was different. So I think this is now corrected. And I hope that this will, and now the new opportunity, of course, with the open API, the OGC API coverages definition, if we manage to bring together those two communities, I think that would be a great opportunity right now, a great point in time to collaborate, to get the one thing right and adopt it also in Inspire. That would be my hope.
So I cannot tell in terms of the details on the coverages, but just on the collaboration side, so we have also a memorandum of understanding, in our terms, collaboration, a research agreement in JRC words, where we work together with JRC, and the main contact is Mike Lutz, And this is I'm looking at the community. So if you're involved in the Inspire community, and you're also involved in the OGC community, make sure that you speak up for what you need, because we have seen member states that are active in Inspire and that are members in OGC, that organizations. And there is this gap because they do not speak up. So but with a collaboration agreement in place, we're really looking into more activities, and Yeah, there have been some workshops, the hackathons. I think there, in the next couple of months, there will be more activities coming up. And if you have any questions about that, again, you know, drop me a note, or there's also, you know, talk to the JRC people. Alex, stand up. Yeah. And because we really want to solve issues if there are any.
Thanks, Athena. Yes, I'm Alex, JRC. Martin, I think you know most of us here know each other. But two comments. One is with regards to coverages in particular, and the other one is general. So for the coverages, I think to a large extent on the service interface level, things are already sorted out because there is a mapping and a guidance document about the use of WCS as an Inspire download service. Which I think is already being taken on board by European data providers. There's also the Inspire Reference Validator, which is handling WCS. But of course, now when we have the API way of doing things, this needs to be repeated because I'm not sure that the new API would be backwards compatible with WFS. Clearly not yet. Like I think if this is what is going to happen with But I think this is a nice opportunity also for Inspire to modernize itself. So, yeah, I think going to the general comment, we heard, but I think we would all agree here that there is no Inspire community, no OSGEO community, no OGC community. We are one community, and I think it clearly makes sense that we all work together because we heard in the plenary yesterday, software is useless without data. The same from the data side, data is useless without software. Both of them without standards make very little sense. So I think, we all have to work together.
Thanks, that's a very nice comment. Thank you, Alex. Good, any more questions? We have now a microphone, so you don't have to shout. I can hear you better. Not? Okay, then I would say another round of applause for Stefan.